everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking with folks who love human resources. So let's get it kicked off. Got a great guest today who I'm pretty sure is pretty comfortable talking about what he's got going on. So, because it's his business. Crystal Boy, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. Excited to be here. And hey, when you kick off the show with the little cure, I'm a happy man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the energy of the day is the cure. So I thought, that would be very appropriate. So, well, hey, if you would, Chris, go ahead and introduce yourself to our family of listeners, and then we'll roll into our big question right after that.
Sure. My name is Chris Lavoie. I'm the creator and executive producer of the web series called Top Recruiter, The Competition Miami. We just completed season two, and we're wrapping up our final episodes as we speak. And we're in pre-production for season three, which is kicking off film production June 2014. So, yeah, that's my role. That's my focus is just, working on this pretty amazing piece of content. And it started out a little bit as a passion project, if you will, and now it's really a full-time gig, so we're excited for what we're doing. So,
well, that is perfect, and it's really, it's kind of a big deal relative to everything that I've learned that goes into it and the selection process, and, it's kind of using new, kind of the new media as mm-hmm. your production platform as far as the conversation and presentation. So, I applaud the effort because it's a lot of unknown with that.
Yeah, it's definitely a beast. I got into it saying, hey, I want to create some really amazing content that's going to engage in human resources and talent acquisition, do something a little bit different than what the norm is, whether it's, it's blogging or whether it's social media content or whether it's white papers or podcasting, and so all of those things are important, but my passion is film, and so I just really wanted to take some big chances and team up with some companies that were ready to do something a little bit different within the space, and thankfully we have some of those companies have jumped on board, and we're really grateful that we're able to do this.
Well, that's great. So, and we always kick it off this way. So what's kind of keeping you up at night in the HR space?
Yeah, what keeps me up late at night is working on this type of project and making sure that we really have the right branding, the right image, the right reality, if you will, of what human resources and talent acquisition is all about. And for me, and then I'll ask you a question, Brian, for me, I always feel like I want to see the industry move forward. I love the growth of the industry. I feel that we can be a little bit more progressive within human resources. And so I like to kind of come in the space, and I've been in the space for 15 years now, of really kind of pushing the envelope, if you will, but not really crossing the line. So that's what usually keeps me up late at night, is making sure that we push the envelope, but yet we keep it somewhat reality of what's happening in the present. And so what keeps you up late at night dealing with human resources, Brian?
Oh, Chris. Good question. I like a guy who flips the script. With me, and especially coming off the conference, I really, really get amazed on how powerful when you could get people that are more connected. Like this whole week, for everybody, we're broadcasting live. We're wrapped up the week of Global Best Practices put on by Black Box Intelligence. People report Black Box Intelligence. And they're basically a research firm focused in the human capital area of hospitality, restaurant. And we had, it was a full week of the range of kind of staff level HR folks all the way up to, a bunch of CEOs of global, global billion-dollar companies. And the great thing was is you just did 300 people at the conference for everybody here in Dallas, Texas, and you just didn't get a whole – you didn't really get any ego. You got a lot of people really kind of talking about the things that they, you know, they do right, they do wrong, the things that they want to change in the future, the mistakes they've learned from in the past, sharing mm-hmm. very openly. And I think that connectedness a lot of these organizations really lead with a purpose. And the purpose is around making sure that the people, internal, external, are really treated fairly and, with respect and given opportunity. That was a very common theme the whole week, and I think that was really the differentiator that I've seen from every other conference that I've ever been to. That for me, what keeps me up at night is trying to figure out a formula or trying to figure out how exactly can organizations really mean what they say when they say people is our greatest asset, people are the most important, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of time that is complete bullshit. I mean, they say it every year after year after year, and we're going to do all this stuff, but, you know, at the end of the day, the recruiting process sucks. The onboarding process really sucks. The performance yeah. management, process is toxic and broken. And then at the end of it, it's like, you know, our success is because of our people. That's what we care about most. And it's like, oh, my God, you are sociopathic if you actually think that that is the case. You know, so that disconnect and the reality that I see a lot of people consciously and unconsciously convincing themselves is, you know, that keeps me up at night, because I just think there's such a huge opportunity to not have people, you know, working from a place of fear and organizations mm-hmm. doing things from a place of fear. And, it's such a better place. I mean, this week was all about that. So many companies, and we're talking big, big companies, and, you know, that have led the industry that actually could very easily, you know, just be a horrible, horrible culture. And they've had, John Miller, who's CEO of Denny's, you know, they've just did a big transformation. Just culturally on, you know, they've had lots of issues over the years, but they're an old brand, been around forever, and they've, you know, embraced social media, they've embraced redefining their culture to provide more opportunity, you know, more diversity and inclusion, just they've refreshed their brand, and they are absolutely kicking ass. And
wow.
they attribute it to having just more connectedness and actually aligning, you know, top to bottom, bottom to top, on, you know, we have to treat everybody with respect and fairly that we interact with, internally, employees, externally, clients, vendors we deal with. This is, you know, we need to take a different approach. And you know what? They have turned that business around. So,
do you feel that it's based on the CEO? Have you had some conversations with the CEO at the event?
Yeah, I absolutely feel that it's based on, I mean, it's based on his leadership.
Right.
It's truly based on the fact that, you know, he took the time. He knew that they had to do it, because he's also starting to be a big driver and a big kind of C-level advocate and evangelist for No Kid Hungry.
Okay.
And just having the restaurant industry lead, just getting rid of and stamping out, you know, childhood hunger in the United States. And so, I mean, the weave of his tapestry has some definite, like, we're here to do some, you know, we're here to affect people's lives. And so that's, I think, the big turn with that is that he came in and just, I think he surrounded himself with people and he gave people opportunity to kind of maybe quit working from a position of fear and then try and be themselves and figure out if their selves were really aligned with a purpose-driven company. And
right.
I think I'm pretty sure that's the process they went through from a leadership team, and I think that all trickles down. I mean, we work for companies that at the unit level or, you know, at the non-corporate level, you had a pretty good, I mean, it was a pretty good culture, and then you walk into corporate and the pretty good culture –
that just gets sucked right out of you because everybody is like, oh, I hate coming here, you know.
Right.
And, you know, we've all been in those situations, and it's so energetically exhausting, and you can't really go all in completely because you know you don't have support. You know, you totally have places like these pockets of fear and protection where you're like, I can't 100% be myself because I just don't trust that that's going to be received well.
Right, right. That's terrific. No, I'm glad that they're doing big things. And they've been around, I mean, for, you know, a long time. I think of, you know, I'm dating myself here, but the 90s, early 90s, I mean, Denny's was the spot, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, they have been around. I think it's been 100 years. They're coming up on something like that.
Century.
Oh, yeah. They've been around, oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, at least 25, 30 years ago, I have definitely stumbled into a late night Denny's on occasion. That did happen more than once. Probably actually been asked to leave some late night Denny's actually if I remember somewhat of it. So, but that's a whole I hadn't thought about that in a long time, and so it was good stuff. So I'm really excited because they have, you know, they're a huge company, and they have, you know, they. I can't remember how many people they have, but, I mean, it's so significant, you know, just the employee count and just their ability to, you know, just to make such an impact across the country and provide so much opportunity to, you know, everybody that they're, you know, they're in touch with because they, you know, they're not an urban concept. They're not a rural concept. So they cut across. I mean, you got Denny's everywhere. And
right.
So... You know, I think that's what's interesting. And as well, they're global also. So, well, Chris, tell us, let's dig in. I want to hear, actually, I'm going to do a quick reset here. So, everybody, and Chris, how do you pronounce your last name? Because I totally messed it up.
Yeah, it's Lavoie. So just say love and then wa. So Lavoie.
Dude, you're going to class me up, aren't you? So we have Chris Lavoie on from Top Recruiter, and so everybody, reset, you're listening to Drive Through HR, I should probably include that. Tell us about kind of what was the genesis for the idea? Tell us how that whole, you know, I mean, looking back, it's got to be crazy, just all the work and passion and success that's went into that and people. So what was the, like, were you like, you know, you at a bar, are you at, I don't know, you're on
was
a mission trip?
I was at Denny's at 2 o'clock in the morning, and no, you know what it was is I was just doing some research on, you know, new innovative ways of marketing and advertising, right? So, you know, we work with a lot of different companies that are vendors within HR, and they come to us and they say, hey, we want to create some winning campaigns. So it really was kind of that was the seed of saying, okay, what can we do different? What can we do that's going to be fresh within the space and. You know, just doing all the research, you know, obviously everybody knows that video is the most popular media online. Then you're seeing things like Jerry Seinfeld has a web series, which is extremely popular. And you think, well, why would he do a web series? Why does he just do, you know, why doesn't he just join a network? And just digging into some of the research and reasons why he was moving in that direction. And then one day I was just passing through the channels and I came across this show called the T.O. Show, which is the Terrell Owens reality series. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me, the T.O. Show? And T.O., if you're not familiar, is a famous football player. And he just, you know, had a really negative brand, right, Brian? I mean, he was known to be just a troublemaker in the locker room, and he wasn't playing on any teams because of his reputation. And I just see the credits and it says executive producer, Terrell Owens. And as I'm watching this, within 10 minutes, I'm realizing that I'm falling in love with this personality. Like I'm saying, this guy's really not that bad. And so as I watch it, and then I watch the full episode, I just said, this is the direction that I need to go in. This is a perfect branding vehicle. And then you think of, like, The Apprentice, and you think of Donald Trump, and people love him or people hate him. And but at the end of the day, you got to get the people talking. You got to make them feel something, or they're not going to take notice. So I wanted to make a bold move and just create this. I knew creating a show that was going to have the branding aspect of reality TV, I knew that there was going to be pros and cons to that. People are going to be attracted to it, but then they were going to say, think maybe it's like Jersey Shore, what is it going to be? So I understood that all of these things were going to happen, all of these judgments, all these stereotypes were going to happen, and I just wanted to make sure at the end of the day that we created something that when people actually watched it and they've heard of the show and they're attracted to at least check it out, that they're going to say, wow, this is actually not what I thought it was going to be. And this is actually pretty good. This is pretty good content. I may watch it again. And really, that's the whole point of creating a winning campaign, is to make sure that the audience is going to want to check it out again. And so that was really it. That was kind of the birth of the idea, the seed, if you will, and kind of, you know, the evolution of understanding what was going to happen when we were going to release it to the world. So.
Perfect. So, Nisha, I'm not sure did you have a question? She's probably on mute. So, what's been the biggest, you know, I mean, because it's definitely innovative. I love the fact that you pushed it, and it was great meeting, obviously, spend a little time, meet in person, meet your lovely wife and a bunch of the contestants and everybody in Vegas. That was a blast. And so it gets me thinking about what's been the biggest, like, positive and negative surprise that you've had on the journey thus far with putting this together?
Oh, that's great. Great question, Brian. I would say that the positive, the biggest positive thing so far with doing this project is we're moving into season 3. And we raise more and more funds each year to do a bigger and better job. I mean, if you watch it, it's like you would see this on NBC, for example. I mean, it really has a high production value. So that's the positive, that we're able to still do this, and it's growing, and, you know, we have companies like HireVue and Silk Road, you know, that come on board, and they help this, the evolution of the show. So that's the positive. The negative is, and I love this because this is always like the fuel to the fire, is the biggest negative thing I've heard is, these are not real recruiters. These are actors. You know, recruiters, you know, they can't be attractive. That's not reality. And if we go to the first question they asked me about what keeps me up at night is, you know, the resistance of the public, a certain portion of the public, you know, kind of pushing against what you're doing, and understanding and having, you know, the belief and the faith and the support of your team to say we're pushing through this. And believe it or not, I feel that recruitment is a very sophisticated portion to human resources. I mean, we're talking about, you know, making sure that you're bringing on the best people and taking care of those people and doing some really special things. So for me, it's just incredibly important to kind of push through that negative, those negative comments, if you will, of saying, hey, this is I don't understand this. What are you talking about? Recruiters don't drive in Ferraris. Well, guess what? Top 1%, they do. They do. And the show's called Top Recruiter, right? So so that's really kind of the thing. And, you know this as well as I do, is that most recruiters, they sit in an office, they work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, they're in front of the computer most of the time. What I wanted to do, because of the possibilities of mobile and what mobile offers us as people, is to change your lifestyle. And so some of the recruiters that I work with, that I cast for the show, you know, they have painted the picture to me of saying, hey, this is how I work. You know, I wake up, I go to a Starbucks, I bring my iPad, you know, and then I'm driving off to meet some clients, and we're having lunch, and then we're playing golf and all of that. So to me, I knew that was going to be entertaining for the audience to watch, because there's different locations, and instead of just having somebody in their office working 8 hours a day. So that's really kind of the focus and the direction and some of the positive and negatives that we've received. So.
Yeah, and I would, you know, it's one of those that, recruitment, talent acquisition side of things always has a little bit of an interesting kind of contentious relationship with HR.
Yep.
You know, and but the thing is that's a big entry port. That's a huge entry point for being in the talent management, human capital, human resources. A lot of people come into it from the recruiting point because you just got to come in and you got to be willing to work hard, pay attention, and learn. That's the big thing. And have an element of resilience to your personality as you're getting, you know, kicked in the balls day after day because it's a really tough job, right? You know, the she balls, whatever you want to call it.
HR, it's HR buddy here. HR buddy, we need your help. She's still on here.
Chris. I'm actually in the middle of people over here, so trying to find out a place which is not noisy so that we can do the show perfectly.
But it's, you know, and that's why it, so there's, you know, and I get that. So, I mean, I really, it was fun to meet, like I said, and we had Yvonne was on the show. If anybody's wondering, she is freaking brilliant. So, I mean, if anybody's wondering, are these real recruiters? One, I think you're an idiot for asking that because I think it's pretty obvious as they get into it because the skills and the background, and they all have kind of their, some of them are a little more overarching on how their skill set kind of is able to morph a little bit.
Sure.
And they're a little more
sure
how to think. But, you know, and some are a little more like, this is kind of what I do. And so they've got to work a little harder to get out of kind of their comfort zone and what they do. But these are all straight up sourcing, build your book of business, and then learn the business that you're recruiting for. Match that up and get the needs of where people are in their career and their life and the culture of the company, which, first of all, that's the one thing that I'm really excited about. And, again, that's why, you know, Yvonne's currently my favorite is because she really, really, at her core, believes, you know, the culture fit with a company is critical to understand to actually then kind of put people where they need to go in the pipeline and in the actual filter of the business. And so, and I just have had more conversations. It's not a dig on any of the rest of the contestants, but I mean, she did kick ass on, you know, the last.
Yvonne is a rock star. I mean, she's on the corporate side, right, for talent acquisition. We brought in two groups. So we have, you know, the headhunters, you know, the agency recruiters that usually are a little bit bigger and bolder, if you will. And then you have the talent acquisition corporate recruitment side, which is, you know, I would say they're not as bold, you know what I mean, because they're in a specific culture which they have to represent. And so for me, working with, for example, Yvonne, you know, talking and having conversations with her before the show, before we started film production, and then we were on set, and then it was day one, and she was like, you know, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because, you know, you have agency recruiters that are extremely aggressive. You know what I mean? That's how they survive, is building their business that way. And I just pulled Yvonne to the side, Brian, a little behind the scenes, and I said, Yvonne, you got it, because she's brilliant. I mean, I've had many conversations with her, and she really handles herself with class and elegance. And I said, hey, I know this may be a little uncomfortable, but you're going to have to turn it up a little bit, you know? And you watched the last episode, right, or two episodes before where she won that specific challenge for technology. So she's brilliant. I love Yvonne.
Hey, Chris, I have a quick question before we wrap up. I'm actually in the middle of this whole group. What are some skill sets that you see, you know, while you're interacting with your contestants over there, which is really the key people, the number one recruiters out there, and what are some skill gaps that you see or that you advise to those listeners of Drive-Thru HR, if there are recruiters out there? Yeah, you need to develop some of those skills if you wanted to improve one in the future.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and I think that, just to let you know, this morning we've been evaluating the votes online, and I think that we're a little over 27,000 votes for season two. So we beat our record from last year, which was a little over 22,000. And what I'm starting to notice is that the winner, or soon-to-be winner, and when I look at season one or season two, is there is just a certain way that people treat people that I see that really is one of those traits. It's just, and Brian, you were just talking about, it's just companies treating their people better. And so, for example, these top recruiters and the clear favorites that are going to win, it seems like, have that quality where, like, Alex King, who is the host this year and he won season one, if you watch Alex or you meet Alex, he's just a gentleman. He's extremely kind. He knows his business. He knows how to be assertive but not super aggressive where he makes people feel uncomfortable. And I think that's the thing, always making people feel comfortable. And I think that people need to evaluate themselves if they feel that they may have that, where they may go a little over to the top, you know, and pressure people a little bit too much. Nobody wants to feel pressured. They want to know the information. They do want to understand about the culture of the company that you're recruiting for, but you really need to handle it with elegance. And I feel that just based on what the people, the public, are saying of who they would want to work with as a recruiter, it seems that that's like the number one trait, is somebody that just makes people feel comfortable. And a lot of recruitment professionals don't make people feel comfortable. That's why there's this gray cloud over that specific professional level. Is you think of recruiter, you know, some people feel comfortable, some people don't feel comfortable, and I think it's based on that, is, you know, the fact that they feel that there's a certain pressure that comes from a recruiter, that they're not being completely honest. And so I would say that that's the number one thing I think that recruitment professionals, whether they're agency or talent acquisition, how do they make people feel? You know what I mean? Are you really connecting?
Sure.
On a deeper level. So I would say that's probably the most important that I've seen, just evaluating what we're doing on our end.
Nice. Well, Chris, we're just about out of time, and I want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to figure out how to connect with you, where to get the show, how to participate with the show, and if you're casting, maybe be on the show. So we'll let you kind of have the wrap-up on the show here, Drive Through HR.
Perfect.
And then we'll roll on out to a big-ass weekend.
Woohoo! All right, so let's make sure we hit Denny's on Saturday morning.